When the warehouse workers gather, you know we gon' be lit. Talking about all matters, dropping that knowledge shit. Cause we get it started, heat the best way. Crack it open with the drink of the day. Then we got Nerd Corner, Josh spitting facts. All types of nerd stuff, all up in the act. But when it comes to females, you know who hit the scene. Ricardo letting you know how we do his thing. Yeah, cause this ain't just some chit chat. Nah, this the Warehouse Rats.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's the Warehouse Rats. Once again, season 2. Episode 10.
Ten.
I remember when I was 10.
Yeah?
Yep. I was, Nah, fuck that.
As I know you
are. Okay, I can't remember.
Oh, shit.
I can't remember.
Anyway. Hey, it's Josh.
It's Ricardo.
And also, always sitting in the corner with his snacks, it's Crooked's Kid Micah, a.k.a. the original Fluffer Nutter.
Coming in at about 150 pounds with the tan trunks and the tan suit. I just want to be Bruce Buffer for one day, okay? Can I be Bruce Buffer for one day?
Who's Bruce Buffer?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
This is magical.
Okay.
Oh, he freaked out.
I got stage fright. What's going on, man? This is your first week on second shift, man. How do you feel to be a night owl?
It's not too bad. Honestly, I thought it was gonna be a lot worse than it is. Honestly, the hardest part isn't the staying up late. It's the going half of the day and then being like, oh shit, I have to go to work now. And then you're like, oh, well, this sucks.
What time are you getting up now?
I still got to get up. But, okay, in comparison, I'm sleeping in to 6 o'clock.
You daredevil.
That's like 3 hours.
6 o'clock.
Oh my God. I'm getting plenty of extra sleep. And I'm still going to bed at like 8:30, 9 o'clock just because
my
brain is still like, hey, 9 o'clock, go to bed.
It's like your old age, man.
I know.
So what do we got on the the drinking list today?
Because drink of the day. Well, I'm not gonna lie, I forgot to buy something previously, so while my wife is out, I said, hey, can you get something? She's like, sure. She's like, what do you want? I was like, go ahead and surprise me. And she's like, okay. So she got us Alaskan Fireweed Blonde.
I love blondes.
Ooh.
Blondes. My name's Ricardo. You can find me at Warehouse Rats Facebook page. You can also find me on Instagram, on the Warehouse Rats Podcast Instagram page. And what else? Where can they find us?
We're on the Twitter. We're on the Facebook. Depending on where you listen to your podcast, you can listen to us just about anywhere. You can find us at Anchor. You can find us at Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and a lot of those other kind of like oddball ones that only like a few people hear about.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Yeah, so we're just kind of
like
a little
Overcast,
bit
Overcast or Hotbox. Yep. Or
Hotbox?
That just came to mind. I was thinking like...
That sounds like a little sub-channel of your favorite website. I mean...
No, it's more like a... It's like a cannabis...
what?
You know what I'm talking about.
Like Hotboxing?
Kind of. Yes.
It's like marijuana to... The Grindr app.
Oh. Oh, dear. So. I don't know how to take that.
Just grind with it.
Don't ever say that again.
So, speaking about blondes, even if you're not a blonde, just come out on our page and just say what's up. Also, what was I going to say?
I don't know. What were you going to say?
Yeah. See, I haven't had that much coffee, but remember, if you want some good, delicious coffee, go to sandhillcoffee.com and purchase your coffee. Use Warehouse Rats code and get 20% off.
Oh,
now. Man. Michael, you like coffee? You like it black. No sugar.
Politically speaking, I drink regular coffee, yes, each morning.
You don't like to add like sweeteners or any type of like half and half or nothing fancy?
I really hope I don't slip up and say something other than regular. But yes, I enjoy my coffee regular. No additives.
No additives. Which is kind of weird because, not weird, I feel like you guys are, well, how do you like your coffee?
It depends. If I have Sand Hill coffee, just a little bit of creamer. If I have like Folgers or something gross, I put a lot of creamer in it.
Okay.
But yeah, so a little bit of creamer. And if I'm, or if I'm having it at work, two packets of sugar.
So I think that it just goes to show that you guys are like the old souls of this podcast, and you guys like it nice and plain. Just you guys like the original taste, the like
coffee, the
flavors, and
the bean.
And I'm more of a, you know, like a Big B coffee.
Well, so I like Big B's coffee too.
But I don't go there for just like the coffee. I like the, well, I like the women too. But no, I like lattes. I like, you know, my pumpkin spice.
I remember early on episode, like
I knew you were
like
say that.
Within like couldn't have been past episode 10. You had uttered the phrase of you said that you love the pumpkin lattes and you're like a
pumpkin spice, yes, lattes.
And you were a white girl trapped in a brown man's body.
You know how I got that though? Micah is the one that always used to make fun of me because I love like the pumpkin spice. I'm like, dude, these taste fucking delicious. I'm just, there's something about them that they fill my soul with lots of love and pumpkin. Yes, and sugar, lots of sugar.
Oh shit.
Update on the hot and sour soup saga.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So, the other day I went to this establishment
which one?
The one that loves me.
Okay.
But hates me.
she hates that she loves you.
So I legit just fucking like ordered on Grubhub and I picked it up. Bro, she literally like didn't even say anything. She just pointed to the bag. She already, like, as soon as I walked in, she pointed to the bag. I was like, oh shit. So
she can't even talk to you anymore, dude. Man. It's too much.
Is that what it is? Yes. It's funny because I was going in there, and all I kept telling myself, "She loves you. She loves you. She loves you."
You know what she was telling herself when she pointed the bag? She's like, "Be strong. Don't talk to him, because if you talk to him, he's gonna use his Latin flair to make you fall in more love with him." It's like, that's crazy. Don't say anything.
Wow. I mean, I didn't think that far ahead, but I just kind of said like, "Hey, she loves you. She loves you. She loves you. She loves you." I was legit really nervous though, like to go in there. I was just like, is she gonna kick me out? Because last time I walked out and I didn't even
finish. Why would she kick you out? You're about to spend money.
You know, I don't know. Some she kind of strikes me as like a Karen, like an Asian Karen.
I think it's still just Karen.
No, they're a little bit more dangerous.
Oh,
not in a racist way, just in the as a
Nope.
I can't go back on this.
So was it good?
It was actually really, really good.
Now, is it better than the other place?
Yes. I even have an update on that one too. So yesterday, was it yesterday?
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is something I have to ask. How often are you getting these soups?
Well, typically I try not to get them very often, but for some odd reason I've been on a soup crave lately, and so I was thinking, you know what? I'm gonna have to do it, and I did it. So there's only two. It was only two times.
I was gonna say, you didn't answer my question.
It was only two times. It was
okay.
Plus today, so that's three times.
Okay. So like what? Three times today? Or?
No. Three times this week.
Okay.
So I go in and get some hot sour soup from the other place. Oh, I think it was on a Monday. I think they were closed over there.
Okay.
So I went to the one that's next to me.
Right.
I'm gonna give this Indian chick like a name. I don't know. I'm gonna give her a name. What can I call her? I'm gonna call her Chris because that's what she said. Call her by Chris, which is really weird.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie. I'll go in there. She's wearing something very seductive. See,
dang.
Very seductive.
Okay.
She's wearing a yellow dress. You can see a little bit of a cleavage and yeah, it's very tight on her. I was like, oh damn, girl, what's up? Like, and she looked at me. She's like, hi, Ricardo. So she called me by my name this time. Not just Sarah.
She loves you and she wants you to know.
Well, she said, yeah. At first, she said, she said, it'll just be a few minutes. Okay. It's almost ready.
Okay.
And then I'm just like, okay, that's fine. So I step back and I, you know, just go through my phone, you know, tend the halls. And and then she's like, how was your day today, Ricardo? I'm just like, what? I was like, so I you know, it was just like little, you know, formality, little small talk, but I liked it though. She's my Indian bride to be.
Okay, so you have like a huge issue here, Ricardo. Mm. Both restaurants have good soup. Well, hang on, let me finish. you make it sound like both restaurants have good soup, but one, you have a woman who's fighting her love for you, and then you have the other one who's obviously like, "Hey, I'm you know, just 1 foot shy away of, you know, throwing myself at you."
That is true.
I mean, you gotta dial back your sexy, man,
because
it's gonna get to a point where like, you're going to have to, like, carry, like, a stick around to, like, you know, whack people away.
It reminds me of a Seinfeld episode where the Kramer, he becomes a pimp by mistake.
Dude. I'm not going to lie. I have never heard anybody reference Seinfeld more than you have. And the thing is, I used to watch Seinfeld, and I hear nobody reference that show as much as you do. It cracks me up.
It's funny because I haven't even referenced that Seinfeld in a long time, but right? it just all of a sudden just like it reminded me of Kramer walking around with his pimp cane and he's like fighting someone some females with the cane.
Anyways.
This beer, I don't know. It's okay. It tastes not as tasteful.
I've been drinking a lot of beers that are heavy on like additive flavors.
Okay.
This one has a classic blonde beard taste.
I love blondes.
Okay. Focus. So I mean, it honestly, it's good. Like I could sit here and drink this all night. But granted,
I think these would really sneak up on you though.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I think it's pretty good. I understand.
And it's really light. It's really light.
And apparently it's a limited release, so I don't know what that means, but...
So Alaska is actually in the U.S. Did you know that?
What?
What? It's actually one of our bigger states.
So I actually... my brother was stationed in Alaska for a good chunk of time. So I went and I spent a couple of weeks with him. So Alaska's nice. Amazing. And the is other it? Thing... Oh, yeah. And the only other thing that I can think of when I think of Alaska is Sarah Palin when she said the whole you know, I can see Russia from my house, you know, that kind of thing.
You should try to do the Russian, not the Russian, the Sarah Palin accent.
It's basically just like Canadian,
right? It's kind of like
because I mean Alaska, Canada, they're like
is
right
she from
there.
Alaska?
Yes.
Okay. Well, but, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if she just lived there or not. Okay.
Well, dude, I mean, she definitely lives there. I don't know if she's from there.
Oh, that's true. That is very true. Well, today we have something that's interesting. We're going to talk to this individual we have met, but we will get to know even more. She is an author. She is a self-proclaimed tarot reader. Which, that's what she called herself, a witch. Why are you looking at me like that, Micah? Are you scared?
Is she going to take over our minds?
You know, I don't know. I don't think that she would. out of respect for us. But I can't promise you anything. That's one of the beautiful things about the Warehouse Rats podcast. We go to places that we've never been. So, like we're talking, we have a author of author slash self-proclaimed witch. Is that correct? By the name of Joe? Yeah. Welcome, Joe.
Hi.
Welcome to the Warehouse Rats podcast. This is Ricardo. And to my left of me is
I'm Josh.
Josh. And behind the scenes, he is our right-hand man.
Fluffer, to be exact.
Micah. Micah's on to our right. So, what can you tell us about your book?
Well, it's an adult book. It has BDSM themes, but it's also fantasy-based. Oh. With a hint of pet play, I suppose.
So, yeah, that's why I was actually kind of reading the book a little bit. I just didn't have enough time to finish it because I am a bad reader. I can't commit it. I'm not going to lie. It is very interesting that your book is kind of referenced in a animal sense, being a neurotic book. How did you get to that theme or that concept, I guess?
It's funny, actually. I suppose it's not really funny. It's I used to be in a chat room with some other friends, and I had a friend who was really into giraffes, but not in a sexual way. And she was just saying how that she never finds any adult stories involving giraffes, and the seed was sown. So I really wrote it for her, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if she quite intended it for to go quite that way, but she's apparently enjoyed it. So
on our podcast, we start off with the drink of the day. So it looks like you're drinking something. What you got your hands on?
I'm drinking Cornish Orchard's Gold Cider.
Oh. It's like an apple, apple cider?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a Angry Orchard, basically.
Hey,
here.
That's my
more or less.
That's my jam, right?
Very
there.
Nice.
I like that. When I talked to you, I kind of discussed the whole concept of like we want to, if you can give us a sentence or two, and we can try our best English accent, and you can judge us on who does the best. Do you have anything in mind?
I didn't actually think of any sentences. I suppose you've got to think of something that's typically English. You're going to have to mention tea, I suppose.
So, I will say that you are our first international guest, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic.
So where in England are you based?
I am in the south of England, in Southampton.
Now, for me, I'm, stupid when it comes to geography. Where is that in reference to, like, London and stuff
like
that?
That's, the most stereotypical question you can ask,
Oh,
Josh.
Get out of here.
Probably about 2 hours from London, below London.
Oh, wow.
Maybe, roughly. My parents live just outside, but not in London, and it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours to them. England's very small, though. It only takes about 8 hours to go from one end to the other.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I mean, I can go to Wales in 4 hours from where I am.
So now, like, full cross-country trips like that, is that something that you would do on, like, not a regular basis, but definitely is that something that you would like to do?
I would like to. I've never been to Scotland.
Oh, wow.
I've been to Wales.
I say wow, but then, of course, there are states here that I've never been to. So, I mean, you know.
So let me ask you this on that whole I had a question that just went away from me. Oh yeah. So growing up, it might have just been me, but I remember hearing got really confused by hearing Britain, UK and England. What is the proper way? Or Great Britain too, so I don't know.
Right. England is a single country.
Okay.
It's just England. Great Britain, UK, the British Isles consists of Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and England. and also Southern Ireland, but that's a separate state on its, well, technically a separate state. It's a country on its own, but not under British rule anymore. Whereas Northern Ireland still is.
That seems overly complicated.
Very complicated.
And that just be my ignorance, but I mean, that seems like a lot to remember.
I already forgot.
Well, I suppose England, Scotland, and Wales are all the same island, so it's
right.
England, Scotland.
Not too hard. And Ireland's just off the coast. And then you've got the Isle of Wight, which is just off the coast, but that's part of England.
But do you have, so as far as like passports go, like, do you have a different passport? Is it all one wrapped up under one passport?
I think you only need a passport to go to Ireland. It used to be you only needed a driver's license to go there, and possibly that still works, but generally you take a passport, but you don't need a passport to go to Scotland or Wales.
I say it was the same here for Canada, especially for us being in Michigan, where we have direct connection with Canada. At one point in time, you needed either like a state ID or a driver's license to cross over, but then they got to the point where, like, yeah, you have to have a passport.
Or you could just sneak across.
You could do that. I don't think they would appreciate it, but I mean... But at the same time, I don't think they get a whole lot of people who try to sneak into Canada.
You don't know that.
I'd like to think that, though.
We'll call them.
Okay.
Canada always sounds like a very nice place.
So you're an author, yes?
Yes.
So is this book your first, or do you have multiples that you've done?
It's my first published, but I've got others in the process of being written.
Very nice. That's my wife is an author as well, so she has one published and then a number that she is working on, and you know, so like she'll be working on one, then you know, the following week she'll try to work on another one, and then like I'll read some of it and I'm like, hey, are you kind of crossing the two? And she's like, oh crap, I'm crossing the two, I can't do that. So
yeah, I think that's the only worry about, because I thought about doing that, writing two different ones just so I can keep them moving, because I'm writing a sequel to The Safari Girl, which was never my intention, but people wanted it, so it's now being written. So it's taking a bit longer than it would had I planned to do it. So I thought, if I write something else alongside it, it would push me to write both of them, but I figured that might pose a problem because I might cross over the storylines. So I thought, well, if I write something completely different, that should help me not cross over.
Right.
Now, The Safari, I said, I read the first two chapters. Can you give us a little brief without actually, I guess, going too deep?
Synopsis.
There you go. Thank you, Michael. See, that's why he's our fluffer, because he's... Yes.
Because I'm really great at writing those. But guess what? I have the book here with my terrible one written on the back. So I'll just read it to you. It says, Millie awakes to find herself in an unknown surroundings and physically changed in a way she can't comprehend. She's not harmed in any way, but is different from the way she looked before. Jake appears and tells her that she lives here now, and he will be training her to please the guests that will attend her new home when it reopens to the elite. Millie wants to run, but finds there is nowhere for her to run to. Will she make it out, or will she accept her fate? Only time will tell. If you want a bit more than that, I suppose I can say more. Yeah, I'm terrible at writing blurbs.
Well, like, because like it's almost like you have to build intrigue without giving
too much.
Like movie trailers. I'm a big movie person myself, and one of the things that I can't stand is when they give away like big details away in the trailer.
Yeah, that is so annoying.
And so it's like, so I assume it's just as difficult with trying to write a synopsis of what your book is. You don't want to give anything away, but yet at the same time you want to bring people in. You want to say, hey, read my book.
You've got to tell enough of the story in a few sentences that will get people hooked without giving away the story.
Right.
And it's very, very hard.
Right. It's like giving a rat a sample of some cheese, but not too much cheese, where like they don't want to come back because they're already too full.
Like you give them the slice, but not the wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you.
Exactly. A sure. little small slice.
Oh, okay.
And I realize that synopsis tells you nothing about the story.
But see, well, that's kind of an interesting point, though. It's like, if that doesn't tell us anything about the story, it's enough to make me go, okay, so what is it about? You know, so in its own way, it's very enticing. It's very, you want to say, okay, so what happens next?
Yeah, it's like, what happened to her? Why is she there? What does she look like now?
Well, we can tell what she looks like a little bit by the picture cover. That's on the background. Yeah, the cover.
Yeah.
When I first saw the cover, I was like, "Oh, I mean, it's kind of odd, but I'm a little intrigued, a little turned on."
That's all right then. That's the plan. Yes, my friend and co-host on my podcast.
Oh yeah,
made
yeah.
the cover for me.
Okay, so what? So for the listeners who are listening, what is your podcast like? Your title of your podcast?
Ours is called Wordsmithing.
Okay,
it's kind of like helping other new writers to publish and write their own book whilst also them following the journey of us doing that. I mean, we've both got published books, but we're still learning. So it's kind of, we're gonna iron out all the wrinkles for you, then you can just do what we don't, because that's our tagline. It's like, we have no idea what we're doing.
Nice.
And she spends most of the time telling me I'm old.
Oh,
I'm a little bit older than she is.
That's how I feel about Josh.
We're born in the same year, man.
I know, but you're a little bit older, so. You got that old soul. I was blessed with some good genetics. What can I say?
Yes.
So, talk to us a little about. I remember you talked about being a self-proclaimed tarot reader, which.
Yes.
That sounds very interesting. So can you talk to us a little bit about what that's all about?
Okay, well, being a witch is quite fluid, really, because it's not like, or you can use Wicca, which is a kind of religion, but it's still not the same as, say, Christianity or Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not as structured as that. You can still follow whichever path you want. You can still take from ancient Egyptians or ancient Greek or more modern religions if you want to, but a little bit more spiritual. Or you can take for all the religions, all the bits that you like. Or you can not follow any at all. And just worship nature, I guess.
Okay.
That's one way of putting it.
Now, is that something that you just kind of came upon, or is that something that's kind of always been tugging at you? And more, I guess, well, more or less, is how
is that something you grew up with?
Not really. I was raised in the Christian faith. I took my first Holy Communion and my confirmation.
Mm-hmm. Sounds Catholic to me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Catholic, Christian. Yeah. Catholic, probably. But I didn't pay that much attention. But it was never my calling, never the path I wanted to walk. And it wasn't until I read something later on that I realized that that was what I already did, the more spiritual side of things. So, and then it had a name.
So,
and I found the magic.
So you belong to the, you said to the Wiccan, or was that the Wiccan religion? Or you just kind of follow it?
The Wiccan path quite as much, because they have a creed of do what you will but harm none. But I'm not averse to hexing if I need to.
She was looking at you when she said,
"No, Ricardo, watch out." I am. I don't want no trouble.
Well, with magic, 90% of it is belief. If you don't believe it, then it's not going to affect you.
Oh, okay.
But if there's that little kernel of belief, it probably will.
Oh, wow.
Now, I guess a question would be like, and I'm trying to figure out how to.
You want to say it to me in Spanish, or I'll translate.
I don't speak Spanish, but I mean,
English.
What? I guess does a part of it rely on superstition or, I guess, genuine belief?
I think it's a little of both.
How so?
The wise women of old are what superstition is made of.
Say it again.
I like that.
The wise women of old are what superstition is made of.
You ever think about it like that?
So, like, the saying of, like, old wives' tales.
Yeah.
In a sense.
I'm still, like, thinking about it, right? So I'm just like...
You have to excuse Ricardo. He's usually tardy to the party quite a bit. So
I'm a little slow. Just say it.
If you think about it, all the medicine women in the old tribes and stuff, they were the ones that helped with childbirth and this. And then organized religion came in and started making those people out to be wrong and ostracizing the old healer women because they were women.
Mm.
And then superstition was born. Oh. Old wives' tales were born.
Oh. So by those people, she means...
She's talking about you?
I don't know.
Patriarchal societies.
Now, on that aspect, I remember that you had spoken to... that you also do... what are you doing, Micah? You also do a house cleansing with, like, the whole sage and stuff like that. Can you talk us through, like, what it actually that entails?
Yeah, it's I know the Native Americans do something similar with white sage. They call it smudging. But for our sake, we don't appropriate, so it's smoke cleansing.
Okay.
But it's basically the same thing, but you don't necessarily use white sage. You can use European sage, green sage, or rosemary, or any herb you like. It's basically to remove negative energy from your spaces. So you light your smudge stick or sage stick or burning stick and waft the smoke around the whole area, and you must have a window open, because if you don't have a window open, where's the negative stuff going to go?
Hmm.
Oh.
So now, does it specifically have to be sage?
Yes.
No, it doesn't. Oh. It can be lots of different things. Sage is traditionally used, but you can use rosemary or, well, any herb, really.
Now, why is sage used more often? Because I have seen it, especially like, I want to say the haunting on I have, bro. Don't look at me like that. So when they do a lot of house cleansing, like you say, they do use sage probably like 99% of the time that I've seen it. Mm. If not 100%.
Is that like kind of like a go-to herb for that?
Yeah. And I think that comes from the Native Americans' usage of white sage.
It's my people.
A lot of it, but it's a cleansing herb, whereas rosemary is more for... You tend to use that one more for remembering and knowledge, learning. So,
like how often do you do these house cleansings?
For other people, not very often.
No,
I have done a few, and for myself, probably once a year, maybe twice. Spring cleaning, part of.
Now, do you do it? You said it's a negative surroundings, I guess. But do you do it? Because the reasons I've seen it is where, like, there's a lot of afterlife happening, like a lot of negative afterlife, where a lot of stuff is breaking, blah, you know what I'm saying? So, is that sometimes the case where, like, you do it because of ghosts in a sense? Sorry, my voice is cracking again.
Yeah, people do it for that reason. Okay. Because you don't always know what the negative energy is. It could just be everyone's just really antsy.
Hmm.
But then that could be a lot of things. That could be astrological.
Okay.
That's Mercury retrograde tends to do that to a lot of people. But
now, where did you learn this? Where did you learn this sage cleansing? Is it kind of something you just picked up, or
I have other friends who do it, and I've read books, and the internet is a wonderful thing. Now we have it.
Yes, we do.
It's fantastic.
It is.
But growing up, not so much.
Now, do you have other people, like, around you, like any siblings or you know, like your parents, or that are kind of, I don't want to say frowned upon, but like kind of look at you a little bit weird because you do such exotic things, I guess, in a sense, where
They all think I'm weird. I think they gave up on me years and years ago. But they don't look down on me, but they just kind of probably give me side eye. It's one of the questions my friend asked me earlier, because we were doing a similar sort of thing, but for our podcast for next week. She was interviewing me this week. Next week, I interview her. But
so you're
one of the questions she asked was, what advice would you give someone when they want to tell people they're writing erotic fiction? And how did you tell your parents? I was like, well, or how did they feel? I was like, well, I don't think they were particularly surprised or bothered.
Now,
my sister has read my book.
Oh, nice. It's actually a question that I was thinking about earlier today to ask you. Now, I am a big TikTok fan, and there is a song, particular song, that is WAP. Have you heard the song, Micah?
My sister told me about it. I could definitely use some WAP.
Jeez. So have you guys heard about it, Josh?
I am not familiar.
You're not familiar with WAP?
No.
So let's just say it is a an American singer that uses the acronym of WAP. You can look it up. And she's very out there as far as like her sexuality, and she used to be a stripper. So she's definitely out there with her sexuality, and her lyrics, I say, are very explicit. And I guess the question would probably be like, why is society so like frowns upon so much, like speaking about sexuality so openly, you know what I mean? Like, it's really frowned upon. Where the biggest, the only reason we're here is because we're made, you know?
Yeah.
What?
So I wonder why society just kind of frowns upon like the whole like speaking about like openly speaking about sex. Where the biggest reason we're here is because we, you know, our parents had sex. Somebody, you know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of it comes from religion.
From what I've gathered from things that I've read, that at least when it comes to sexuality, that seems to be a much more simple conversation in Europe, overseas. But like over here in America, it seems very taboo almost in a way where like as soon as you mention it, unless you're in a circle that is okay with it, as soon as you mention anything about sex, everybody gets really weird. Everybody gets super quiet and uncomfortable. And it's like, okay, so what's the problem? Because here's the thing, you know, we're all here as a result of exactly. Two people getting down. So yeah. It's like, okay, so what's the problem? And just from what I've gathered, it seems like that isn't the case overseas, that it's a much more, I wouldn't say a more comfortable thing to talk about, but definitely something that isn't as
frowned upon.
Yeah, almost like a frowned upon thing.
I suppose it is. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily talk to complete strangers about sex and stuff, but then it's, if we're in your circle of friends, it's not an issue.
Right.
Even your work colleagues sometimes. Oh. Or sometimes complete strangers too.
I mean, the last time I tried to talk to a complete stranger about sex, I mean, they kind of gave me a weird look, and then they said, okay, I'm trying to enjoy my dinner, so please leave me alone. And so it's like, oh, sorry. So
let me ask you, what can you tell about this story? I want to know.
Well, the breadstick they were eating in a weird way was very, you know, phallic in the sense. And I'm like, hey, you know, we're all trying to eat here, so let's, you know, if you need to talk about something, you know, let's talk about it. Let's not, you know, act out weird stuff with breadsticks. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
This the Warehouse Rats. This the Warehouse Rats.
And we are back. So we were talking about, or can you please calm that pet down?
Sorry.
So we'll wait for him because he has a dog.
Yes, and I've just saw my ferrets walking around. So hopefully they're not going to eat my feet.
Oh, you got a ferret?
Yeah, I've got two. One of them just went under the sofa and the other one just went out the room. So.
Nice. I never met a ferret. I never see a ferret up close.
Fortunately, the one that just went out the room is the one that normally chews my feet.
She has a ferret.
You have a ferret?
She has two.
I have two.
Oh.
One of them comes back in, I'll get him, pick him up for you.
Yay. I love animals. I honestly do. Except for snakes. I don't like snakes.
Yeah, snakes.
Where's gone?
So you have two ferrets, not just yes. one. See, like, anytime I've met anybody with a ferret, it's always just one. I've never met anybody with two.
You should have them in pairs, really. They're very social animals, and they need a lot of attention. This is Spock.
Is that Star Wars?
Excuse me?
Excuse you? Star Trek.
Ooh. No, I'm more pissed at you because you said it was Star Wars. Anyway.
Oh, is that the guy with the, no?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I just say, well, you did this kind of a thing, so he's not that kind of guy.
Oh, his brother gets up, I'll pick him up too.
So cute.
So, it was mentioned, a little bit earlier that you do tarot readings, is that correct?
Yes.
Ooh. Now, is that something that you do on the regular basis, or is it a just kind of a great while or when asked?
Quite often it's when asked. I'm trying to do it more regularly because I'm still learning. Mm. I tend to read intuitively, which is easier depending on the deck you've got.
Mm-hmm.
If all of your cards have pictures on,
right,
it makes it easier. But sometimes your suit cards will only have like three cups or something, and then it's not so easy to tell a story with that.
Is every deck differently? Like, or okay, let me rephrase that. Is every deck different, or is there like a general, almost generic deck?
There's one.
Ooh, creepy.
Okay.
Now,
and
I heard. Well, Alex, go ahead.
No, they all relatively tell the same story, and they're all, a lot of them are based on the same kind of deck, but they're not all the same.
What is the, I guess, what's the, it's hard to ask, kind of ask. How do you read somebody's, don't read mine because I'm scared, hang on a lot. How do you go about reading somebody's, or is there like a certain, like, let's just say you get the I'm gonna say the 10 of spades, does that mean certain thing, or what, how does that go?
It does, which is why I'm still learning, because reading intuitively is fine because you don't need to know what the traditional meanings are, but each card does have a traditional meaning.
Okay.
So your 10 of, I'm not sure what's, yeah, all the suits in a standard deck of cards do relate to the suits in a tarot deck, but I can't remember what spades are.
Shit. Sorry. What's wrong, bro?
Your 10. We've got a cheat sheet here somewhere. Oops, crochet. Oh, there we go. So a 10 of wands, for instance, would mean burden, responsibility, hard work, stress, and achievement, unless it's reversed. Okay. And then it's taking on too much, avoiding responsibility.
Oh, dang. So let's think about this a little deeper, Ricardo. You just so happened to say the 10 of spades.
Okay.
Which came up with that. So apparently...
But she didn't say the 10 of spades, though.
Well, no, but...
No, I said the 10 of wands.
10 of wands, but...
What spades relates to.
So the fact that you just kind of randomly came up with 10 of spades...
Okay.
And it had that recollection with it, with feeling overworked or underworked. Maybe it's time.
Oh, it's time for me to quit.
I wasn't gonna say it. Maybe it's time for you to start working. But I mean,
no, I don't think this works like that. Or maybe it was just randomly in my mind.
Or was it?
Oh, I don't know.
Are virtual tarot readings possible?
Yes, that's how I normally do them.
Oh.
So is it not a, Well, isn't it like normal? Well, is it normally like an in-person thing, or is it always a virtual thing?
I do both, so I was just trying to see if I could find. Oh, there we go. Spades would be swords, not wands.
Oh.
I can tell you what the Ten of Wands is. Ten of Swords is. Oh, if you like.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. He's so interesting. Yeah. He's like, damn.
Ten of Swords, I said. Ten of Swords generally would be backstabbed, defeat, crisis, betrayal, endings, and loss, unless it's reversed and it's recovery, regeneration, fear, ruin, or inevitable end.
Yes. Ricardo's doomed.
As a that, or you're afraid of losing your hot sour soup lady.
Yes.
But which one?
Now, I've heard before that through a different I was listening to a different podcast where there is a medium on there that said that tarot reading was not particularly like the best thing to do, to a point where it was almost like I guess it depends on how detailed you are in this tarot reading, but she said it was a little bit dangerous supposedly because you can open up certain portals, certain negative portals, and to get that tarot reading and not and if the tarot reader is not fully ethical, which I don't know if that's even a word, ethical.
Yes, ethical. I mean, I know is a word.
Well, I don't know if that's. I know it's a damn word, damn it. But I don't know if it's.
Yeah.
You know, but if this tarot reader does not close that portal, and leave that, so that negative entity will come and haunt you pretty much, and not leave you alone until it goes back into its hole. I don't know.
I suppose, but I don't know. It's never occurred to me.
Okay.
Hmm. I mean, generally, you would ask the universe or spirit or whoever to help guide you to answer the question or whatever people are looking at, and then you say thank you afterwards.
Okay.
Which would be opening and closing, I suppose. And by unethical readers, I suppose she would mean someone who is going to tell you bad things, like, oh, you have a curse on you. Mm-hmm. I can remove it if you give me $500.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of person. You know, a scam artist, mm-hmm. basically.
Gotcha.
A good reader wouldn't tell you anything like that. Because the cards don't tell you things like that, really. They can guide you with a problem you may have, or if you're not sure what you want to do next, or something like that, you can ask that sort of question, but they're never going to tell you if you're cursed or you will meet the love of your life on this day in this year. They can't be that specific.
I wish you could tell me when I'm going to meet her, but I guess if you can't tell me.
No. I can tell you how to make yourself more attractive to her.
Oh, there you go.
Well, not me personally, but the cards could. That's a question you can ask. What should I do to bring love into my life?
I think we should make that happen.
No, John, I don't think we should.
Please.
Micah, how about you?
I'll do a tarot reading. I'll do anything.
Well, go ahead.
I feel like one, like, can out you, of the three of us, someone has to have, like, a mini tarot reading. Or like,
can you, Joe, can you do a mental, mental?
Nope.
I can do a two or three card reading.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
We'll cash app you.
So, this is for the Fluff or Nutter.
Okay.
Kirk, it's Kid Micah.
I'm super nervous, guys.
I'm nervous for you, bro. I ain't gonna lie. You want me to hold my hand?
You say you want to hold my hand?
So in India, you can hold hands and it's not even...
Well, you need to ask me a question. Well, you don't have to say it out loud, but it helps to focus.
We'll stick on the theme of love. What route were you going for this, Ricardo?
Bro, it's all you, man. It's all you.
Well, yeah. I think it's only right once I get my tarot card read.
I'll do it for the same things.
So I need to ask a question. What kind of questions are typically asked when it comes to love?
Questions that are asked are, when will I meet my love? Which is not a good question because you could ask If you're, say, interested in a person, you could ask how to make yourself more attractive to that person, or what is it they're looking for, what is it you're looking for, what you can do to attract love to you. Well, that sort of thing. It's generally open-ended questions rather than straight yes or no.
Gotcha. How can I make myself more attractive to this man sitting to my left, named Ricardo?
Wow.
Okay.
He's so happy.
And after, when you pull a card, could you hold it up so we could see it?
I can. I will do two cards because you can't really tell a story with a single card. Right. So, card one, you have the One of Chalices. Wait, I'm trying to find it. There's the One of Cups, One of Chalices, or Cups, depending on what you want to call it, which is beginnings. Ones are generally beginnings, the start of a journey. And the Cups, so I'm going to have to refer to my cheat sheet. The Ace of Chalices, love, compassion, creativity, overwhelming emotion. And to move on from that, you have the Stars, which is a major arcana.
What?
And a major arcana. It's, you've got the major and minor. The minor are your suits, which are the same as your playing cards. And your majors are the characters that tell the story. So you can go... it's called the Fool's Journey. So the Fool starts off on journey, he knows nothing. And then on that journey, he meets a magician who knows everything and tells him what he needs to learn. And then he meets a high priestess and all the other people, and then each of them tell him new things to learn. And we've got the Stars, which is hope, spirituality, renewal, inspiration, and serenity.
Oh, serenity so. Now. That's a Seinfeld episode too.
So where do you go? Love, compassion. Well, creativity works, I suppose. You're making a podcast together, which is creative. And inspiration.
You're the inspiration, Micah.
Or art is Micah your inspiration?
Yes.
As long as I keep you guys fluffed, I'm doing my job.
Oh my god.
Ricardo, I think you should have a tarot reading for the soup ladies.
Oh shit. Damn, it's just burned, bro.
Oh, it's so good though. Sheesh. Oh, I should mention for our listeners that we finished our beer and we are moving on to a whiskey. It's a Buffalo Trace. This is a new one for me and it's amazing.
That shit burns the back of my throat.
Oh, it's so good.
I like it. I like it. It's
really good.
I had a lot of hot and sour soup today, so my shit's already burning. I'm all kinds of fucked up right now.
Alright, so Ricardo, are you next?
I mean, I didn't want to, but you know what? I'm getting pushed into this, so let's do it.
You don't have to. I'm not pushing you.
But we are. These so it's okay.
You don't have to ask about love. You can ask about anything. It's like, you know, where are you at right now? What do you need to do to move forward with whatever project you're doing?
Ooh, I like that. What do I need to do to be... how can I... first of all, I'm horrible at asking questions, so you got to bear with me. How can I become more financially successful?
Good question.
See? It's a great question. Thank you.
Okay.
Micah? Go ahead, Micah. I know you have something on your mind.
You want pentacles. That's what you want to come out. Pentacles are the suit of money.
Oh. Pentacles.
How crazy it would be if that was the first one that came out.
I'll go play the lottery.
Dude,
right,
my
now
mind would be blown.
Okay.
Pentacles.
Do we have? First one is the Eight of Swords.
Oh.
Ooh. Is that good or bad? Some big dragon.
It's...
it looks kind of scary, so I don't think it's not that good.
Well, theoretically, he's rescuing the damsel in distress, but she doesn't look particularly distressed to me, so I think she can rescue herself. But it looks like there's a guy down the bottom here.
Okay.
Who's already tried and he's not been successful. So maybe this guy is going to be. And also, seven guys came before him who didn't manage it. But traditionally, that means the Eight of Swords is isolation, self-imposed restriction, and imprisonment.
Ooh. What the hell?
Whoa.
Does that mean I'm going to prison?
You don't believe you can be successful, so you're not going to be. You have to believe yourself.
Oh, that's just deep.
Like, no shit, that kind of speaks to you to a T, man. Like, from the conversations you and I have had with one another, that hearing at least that kind of description is very reminiscent about how, like, well, think about how you talk about our job. Mm-hmm. We're just box pushers.
Yes.
That's how you refer yes. to our job.
Yes.
Which, in the grand scheme of things, we actually do much more than just push boxes.
Josh, did you know this, that we ship a lot of stuff to the UK, to run?
I do know.
I was about
that.
To say his name, but
yeah, don't say that.
I can't say it.
Yes. So I find that interesting. That was okay. Yeah. Okay. So you said there's two cards.
Second card is the Six of Chalices.
Oh.
Which is a water card. Obviously, it's cups. Well, it's not obvious, but it is. And this guy, he's at a fountain. He's stopped to drink. A few cups are there before him. There's a little scorpion down there.
Oh, shit.
So what do scorpions mean to you?
Back in my country, scorpion's a bad one.
What?
I don't know.
But it's not a tiny one. It's a big one.
Oh, yeah. Those are not. Those ain't venomous.
Not bad.
They just... It's like a dog, you know, like if they bark a lot, they won't, I mean, they'll probably bite, but it's not as bad.
You do know they don't bark, right?
I know, but scorpions, so supposedly, this, I'm going to educate you right now. I'm going to culture you up a little bit.
Okay.
So scorpions, from what I know, is that if they are big, they are not venomous. If they're small, those are the venomous ones.
I think they're all venomous, but the smaller they are, the more potent it is.
Yes. Oh. So Wikipedia effect.
Yes. And so, I mean, its traditional meanings would be reunion, nostalgia, childhood memories, and innocence. So, I would say...
Can you repeat that one again?
Six of Cups. Reunion, nostalgia, childhood memories, and innocence. So, it's possible that... Oh, you wanted to know how you can become more successful. Yes. So, you need to believe in yourself. And you may have to think back to a time when you did believe in yourself or somebody believed in you. And when you felt you could be... When you're a kid, you can...
When you're a dreamer.
You believe you can do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got to get that mindset back. Because it's true what they say. You see, you get what you see. If you see happy people around you all the time...
Right.
You're going to be more happy. If you see miserable people around all the time, if you only pick out the miserable ones, you're going to be miserable. So look for the successful people, the ones that are happy and they've done what they wanted to do.
That's actually very accurate as far as like my whole perspective in life. And
good.
That's crazy. Yeah.
You just blew me away.
I should take that advice too. I never have any confidence in my own readings because I don't really read for many other people, just myself mostly.
Okay.
Occasionally someone on Facebook.
Well, maybe you should do... I think it's... So far, I think it's a really... I mean, first of all, it's fun. It's kind of creepy just because it's not something that we're used to. And especially for me, like, being not that religious.
Dude, you're Catholic. You're super religious.
being somewhat religious, it's kind of taboo in a sense.
But the two can sit together well. I do know of many... people who are Catholic witches or Christian witches, they do follow both paths.
Yeah,
because you can.
One of my uncles, he passed away, but he was super big into kind of the same. I mean, the whole tarot reading, but he used to call it. Obviously, there's a difference between like white magic and black magic. Nothing racist, but the black magic was like the bad one. I don't know why.
Whoa!
That was like the dark one.
It's true, but technically magic has no color. Magic is just magic. It's the black and white comes depending on how you wish to use it.
Yeah,
so
that's,
if you want to use it for good, you generally call it white. But if you're cursing or hexing everybody you meet, then that would be black.
Yeah, so we actually went to a place where she's a she was a Cuban person. So they do have a lot of like the whole they're big into the whole voodoo stuff, like the whole I'm assuming it goes back to the African roots. Yes, Micah. it goes back to the African roots. I could be totally wrong on this, but it
I can't remember if voodoo comes from Africa or from Jamaica.
Well, I'm assuming that parts of, since Jamaica, since Jamaica has a lot of African people or people from African ancestry, I'm assuming it still goes back to the Africa part. So, Joshua, you're looking at me all weird.
Nope.
He wants to say something, but can you read his his?
Okay. All right. So my question would be,
you're trying to find a third wife, aren't you?
No. Third? that would imply I have a second.
Well, some say.
Stop it. no. I find I have a lot of stress in my life.
Mm.
How could I be less stressful? Would that be a relative question?
Yeah, you could ask that. It can advise you on what you can do. It might just say let go.
Right, yeah.
I could tell you how. You want me to tell you how?
Alcohol is not the answer.
I wasn't going with alcohol.
That will help.
I was thinking of a certain site, but
nope.
You know, no, okay. Yeah, buddy.
Right, thinking the same thing.
Oh.
Hence why I read my book.
There you go.
Right.
Michael, I'll give you a copy.
I can use that.
So, your first one is the King of Swords.
Oh.
How come you get a King of Swords? What the hell?
Because I'm a boss.
Okay.
And he looks rather annoyed, actually. Don't be stressed.
Hey.
I have a sword here, and I'm just going to sit here and be a king. He's looking at something over there, which could be whatever's causing you your stress, I suppose. And traditionally, he means or stands for King of Swords. Clear thinking, intellectual power, authority, and truth.
Oh.
So maybe it's a case of you feel like you have too much authority, too much, too many people relying on you, which is why you're stressed. Possibly.
Whoa.
And your second card. Oh, you're going to like this one.
Oh, shit.
Queen of Swords. All my queens are naked.
Oh.
Hey. And she's a blonde.
Oh, sure. Now Mike is interested.
Oh, that's two swords.
Mm. Oh, that means you're going to get a second wife, bro. Yay.
King and queen. And she is a quick thinker, organized, perceptive, and independent. Are you feeling a little bit maybe restricted?
Whoa.
I mean, you're a family man, so not that that's a bad thing, but maybe sometimes it just feels like you need a break because you're not individual enough.
You need some alone time with some,
With my book.
Well.
Hey!
And a bottle of... Yes.
Yes. Well, I find that interesting because
Kleenex.
I'm actually going to be getting
a third wife?
A considerable amount of
alone time.
Like alone time because my work shift has changed. Micah, shut up. And, you know, my kids start school soon, so there's going to be a good chunk of time where I'm actually at home by myself, and that's not normal. I mean, shit, I've had people around me constantly for the past almost like 10 years.
You want me to tell you what I do when I'm alone?
No.
Not all the time.
Just every other time.
Okay, anyways.
Holy shit. No, that's crazy. So...
We still got two more cards. We still got one more card, don't we?
No, just two.
I mean, that was two.
No, just two.
Oh.
It's so, the king and the queen of swords. That's why it confused you.
Okay.
So, this is a very, like, interesting process. Like, what brought the tarot reading specifically? What brought you to that? What was that factor that said, hey, this is really cool. I need to look into this more.
I'm not sure, actually. I bought a deck years and years ago, which kind of went missing.
Oh.
It's possibly in my mom's loft, but possibly not. I thought I took it with me when I moved, but sometimes a deck of cards will leave and find its own place because sometimes you just don't gel with them. Hmm. It sounds really strange and weird, but they are a lot of people do believe they are their own entity in a way. Because I didn't find it easy to read with those cards when I first got them, but I used them more and I did some practice and did a little course and learned how to read intuitively. Mm-hmm. And that helped. And now I read them quite well. We get on quite well, I suppose.
So almost like they have a personality of their own and you have to work together to make both of your personalities work together. Yeah. That's super interesting.
Anyway, I mean, you find some decks work better for love questions and some are better for money questions and some are better for just general whatever. But I think what drew me to it was I used to, and still do, but I don't have them out, used to do Nordic rune readings. And I used to be apparently quite good at those. I used to read them for an old work colleague who used to go regularly to get tarot readings, and she said I would tell her the same thing as a tarot reader did.
Oh, wow.
And then I thought, well, I want to get back into tarot reading, so I'm going to get a new deck, and just went from there.
Wow.
And learned to read them better.
That's crazy. That's, I like it, and I say crazy very, nonchalant, like more of it's,
interesting
that, yeah, that's really cool. Cause like, and again, that's always, at least from how I grew up, that kind of stuff was always very
taboo.
It's
my favorite word.
Kind of taboo. It is my favorite word. But more of, I guess frowned upon and definitely a, not seen in a positive light.
Right.
Which, of course, now being how I am now seems silly, because if you don't think everything is connected in some kind of a way, then you're kidding yourself. I mean, because everything reacts to everything, and just it's the idea of everything being connected, and with that connection, being able to kind of tap into that with cards is shouldn't be so far-fetched. And
it isn't. It shouldn't be. I think it's there a tool to help you focus your intuition rather than magic,
right?
As such, or direct line to whichever deity you wish to speak to.
Right. So it's pretty much a guidance as far as like your, I don't say chance, but it's definitely something that's not meant to tell your future or anything that's outside of the norm, in a sense.
Yeah. I mean, it can tell you, like I say, it can't tell you exact dates of when things are going to happen, but it can guide you towards it, and it's not set in stone either. Just because the cards you read today say, if you do these things, then you'll probably reach your goal. But if you do something slightly different, it may not reach your goal. You may reach it a different way. It's never set in stone.
So I also heard like the that medium that I heard about. She said that one of the things that I won't say dangerous, but something that's a little interesting is that just about every tarot reading that people have, the whole "you're gonna die" type of card comes out, and it's just kind of it's not that it's fake or anything like that. It's just kind of like it puts at least a bad taste on people's reading, in a sense, you know.
It's because the media has made them out to be nasty, horrible things, and I'm just looking for that card.
don't
It doesn't mean what the media tells you it means.
Okay.
It's going to be the last card I look at, probably. Ah, there he is. You mean this one, don't you? The death card.
Oh, jeez.
Surprisingly, it doesn't look as bad as it as I would think it would.
No, because death card doesn't mean that you're going to die. It doesn't mean somebody's going to die. It doesn't mean death at all. It means it's a change card. If you pull a death card, it usually means that something is going to change. Maybe a relationship will end, a friendship will fail, or that job that you were doing is not the right job for you anymore. You're going to find a new one. It depends on what other cards are with it, but it doesn't ever mean that somebody's going to die.
Right.
And any reader that tells you you're going to die if you pull that card is not someone you want to trust.
Yeah, it always seems like, excuse me,
and they're
that...
probably going to say, if you give me £500, you won't die.
I got about 280 pounds.
See, it always seems like the over negative about tarot reading is always brought up, like the death card. You know, as soon as somebody sees death card, they automatically think the absolute worst. And it just seems like, and I'll admit, I've never had a tarot reading, like, ever.
Me neither.
So
I was always afraid of that too, to be honest.
So, and I guess I always thought of it as a. I guess it's always been like again taboo kind of a thing, you know. So because again, I think it's always portrayed so poorly, which is unfortunate.
And the main thing that the films and media have got wrong is where death means endings, beginnings, change, and transformation. The card you really want to worry about is the Tower card. The Tower.
Okay.
I can find that one. That one means disaster, upheaval, sudden change, and revelation.
Oh, yikes.
That one's a worse card to find. It still doesn't mean you're going to die, but it's more. It means that there will be more disruption in your life than if you ever saw the Devil card, for instance.
Oh, shit.
Or the Death card. And Judgment sounds pretty bad, but even that's not a bad card. It'll be in here somewhere, obviously. Even it won't look that bad, I don't think. I think it's on fire, if I remember rightly. Yeah, it's the Tower card is the one that really portends.
Well, that's a good thing you didn't find
it. Like that one is the implication of bad. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not death bad, but
right. But definitely not, you know, running through open fields good.
No. Okay. More like there's going to be a lot of upheaval.
I'm not a huge fan of upheaval.
I've lost the Tower card. It's in here somewhere. But
that's
yeah,
a good thing.
Well,
that's a really good thing.
But yeah, you didn't have it, so it's fine.
Interesting.
Well, Joe, let me say that it has been an absolute delight getting the opportunity to speak with you this evening.
Thank you for having me.
But you never, you still gotta get judged.
No, you didn't do your English accents, did you?
Oh, I'm terrible at it. So always comes out Australian.
Well, first of all, can we hear a American accent though? Because typically I don't hear British people like try to use an American accent.
Okay.
Very often at all. It's very rare.
You should come over here. All the kids, because they watch so much American TV. Like my ex niece, she's 8 or 9 now. She talks with an American accent.
Oh, because of all the Blue's Clues. All the Blue's Clues.
I don't know what it is she was watching as she's growing up, but she's always got this American accent. I don't know if she's outgrown it yet. I don't see her so much now. But
that's funny.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Mine always sounds Australian, so.
Micah, can you start first?
Would you like some tea with your crackers?
That's horrible.
What the fuck was that?
That's horrible.
It's better than mine, so you're good. All right, Ricardo.
I can't even do it on command, but...
Well, you got it.
My name's Ricardo.
Hold on.
Hello. Hello, Governor. I'm from the British Parliament. You are under arrest.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
See, thank you, Micah. Hello, governor.
Oh my God.
Joshua?
I don't have one. I legit don't, man. It will be Australian. It won't be British.
How can you not have British when your people are from Scotland? Scotland.
Nope.
You said nope.
No, it will be Australian 100%.
We're waiting on you, Josh.
Yes, Josh.
I don't have it, man.
Josh?
If I can say tea and crackers. Helps.
They both sounded Chinese.
See? Oh, shit. Well, now I'm terrified. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. I got to think of something to say.
Hello, Governor.
Do a Star Wars line.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Star Wars British edition. British.
Well, see, but everybody talks in a weird way, so I can't. Like,
British.
No. British. Okay, you guys talking in my head isn't helping.
I'm helping. I'm helping you, man.
No, it's not. I'm totally gone. British. I don't have it. I don't have it. No, I don't have it. I'm sorry.
Okay, Joe, between Micah and I, who does the better?
Well, you did have a little Cockney in yours.
No, what?
Cockney.
Cockney is London accent.
Hey,
nice.
All that reality. It's a part of London where they speak with the alright governor. Not so much these days. But...
Very nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, Mary Poppins days.
Oh,
nice.
I don't think I've ever watched it either. So.
You've never watched Mary Poppins?
No.
Are you serious?
I know what it's about. I just never really watched it.
Julie Andrews had her prime.
Okay. Okay.
Come on now. Anyways.
Okay, mate.
Oh, my God.
Bloody hell. Okay, Joe.
That wasn't too bad.
So, we still got to get your American accent.
Yeah.
We have a stereotype. Didn't you say that?
From the people I have talked to who are from England or Scotland, or anytime they've tried to do an American accent, for us in America, you have a Northern America and not a South America, but the lower part of America, which we call the South, which is really weird. Well, no, that's a legit thing.
What a great explanation.
No, shut up. You have South America, but they speak all kinds of different languages.
Whoa.
There. But then nothing about what I said was not PC.
I just said, whoa.
You always say that when I say something wrong. So you have the northern states of America and the southern states of America that have even different accents and different ways they sound, how they talk. And one of the biggest things is anytime I've had anybody try to do an American accent, for us, it always sounds like they're from the southern states of America.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
Can you replicate that southern accent?
I'm terrible at accents.
Come on, man.
Yes, so am I.
Because then I always either sound like I'm from Savannah or I sound like I'm Forrest Gump.
I mean, Forrest Gump was from... Where was he from? Georgia?
Florida.
Yeah. Whoa.
Are you okay?
No.
Sorry.
I don't think he was from Florida.
No, he wasn't.
Where the fuck was he from?
Fuck. I thought that was your favorite movie.
It was. It is.
Anyways, says, we're getting off topic here.
Attack of the Nurses too.
Yeah, you carry on.
Strike back. Well, Joe, it's been great talking to you. We can talk for hours about this, but we are limited in time. Thank you for being on the podcast. Do you have the last words you need to, if you want to say something about your podcast for the listeners who are listening to go visit your podcast, your web, or any type of social media?
Okay, well, thank you for having me. And my book, The Safari Girl, is available on most of your platforms. Yes. For ebooks. You can also get it in paperback from Amazon. And our podcast is Wordsmithing. You can find that on iTunes and Spotify and a few other places. Mm-hmm. So most of the places you want to look, you can find it. Or you can find our group on Facebook, either Wordsmithing or myself, Joe Morningstar. And I have a Facebook group called Joe Morningstar's Elite Readers, I believe. Mm. So, yeah, I'm all over the place. Well, mostly on Facebook, but yeah. But if you go there, you can find the links to all my other places.
Yes, get your tarot reading. Cash App, $10.
All right. Well, hey, again, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening. This has genuinely been a blast.
Thank you. It has been very much fun. And I will link this podcast to all of my social media.
Oh, nice.
You just have to let me know when it's released.
Hopefully one day we can be on your podcast to be I'm a professional reader now after this book. I can give you my A's and B's and C's in Spanish and English.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. The whiskey hit me.
Alright. Well, again, thank you so much, and we really appreciate it. And we hope to talk to you again.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Alright, well, have a good evening, and we will catch you again.
Okay, see you later.
All right, bye. Well, that was fun.
I liked it. It kind of started off a little bit little awkward just because we need a little bit more like warming up. But
well, I mean, that kind of happens when you meet anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. That. Oh, sorry.
Come on, man.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. No, see, but I mean, that kind of happens when you meet anybody for the new time. Like, and one of the coolest things is like, especially when you talk to new people, especially on podcasts, the conversation always starts out like. When you just met somebody, like obviously we just met somebody.
How's the temperature?
Right. And I don't know what that means.
But I mean, then that's like a very common like go to like the temperature. Oh, it's pretty hot. Wait, see, I told you.
The weather?
Yes.
Not the temperature.
Is that what I said? I don't know.
You said temperature.
You know what? My British is coming out. No, but it was fun though. I was a little hesitant to do the tarot reading, but Micah, thank you for pushing me. And
I thought that was really cool.
Are we still live or not live?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Speaking to the microphone.
Yeah, Micah, what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing?
Our fluffer decided to
take a freaking break.
Not fluff. He's just a nutter.
I had to get snacks, guys.
No, yeah, I think it was definitely especially when she started feeling a bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
Kind of being a little bit more responsive in a sense.
But then also like when you start finding a good comfortable flow between both parties, you know, it just seems to go a little better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I have a new friend.
Love interest?
An international friend?
Yes, international friend. Everybody. We love everybody.
We love everybody.
Everybody in the club getting tipsy.
Everybody, every day.
Every day.
Well, hey, folks.
With that being said,
This is episode 10 of season 2. We're gonna call this one good for tonight. All right, we're the Warehouse Rats. We'll be back next week. Thanks so much for listening, and don't forget to find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And be sure to follow, comment, and even if you want to be on the podcast, hit us up. We'll get talking, and we'll make the magic happen.
Like Barry White?
No, I was talking magic because we did the tarot reading and magic.
Okay,
god damn it. Anyways, I tried to be insightful with.
You're the one that's gonna get a third wife.
No,
she said you're gonna get a third wife.
I don't think that's what she said at all.
Okay. That's what I got from it.
I don't think you were listening. Anyways, okay, like I said, we'll be back next week. So thank you so much for listening. You'll see us next week. We won't see you, but we're always here. So anyways, this is Warehouse Rats. We are out.
Peace.